it just fueled me to fight for women because I've always just seen the issue and it's always irked me. I just want to be part of the change. It feels like it's my mission in life and I want to see it through.
Welcome to the Get Clear with Crystal Ware podcast, the place where we get clear on our goals, own our worth, and learn to be the CEOs of our own lives. I'm your host, Crystal Ware, lawyer and former Fortune 500 corporate leader who found the confidence to say goodbye to a lucrative career and start my own business. Now I'm opening up the playbook and sharing everything I've learned to get you there faster. It may not be easy, but it will always be worth it because you are made for more. So put on your big girl pants, jump on board, and let's reach for the stars. Are you ready to get clear? Today, we have an amazing guest, Lydia Davies, on. She is the founder and CEO of Osprey Redefining Icons, a company that aims to honor and celebrate the stories, achievements, and legacies of iconic women in history and sports. And today we're going to talk about what that means, how we can support women, how women can empower one another, creating communities. And welcome to the show, Lydia. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on. And I love that you started out with that, you know, how can we create community? Because that's what Osprey is. It's a community. So we really focus on getting our members together, collaborating, networking, becoming friends, helping each other to empower each other.
Yes. I mean, I have always been a really social person, but as you get older, as your life shifts, as you have kids, you really realize what community means. And like, that is a natural part of who we are as women, what we've been in like ancient times all the way through now. And I really think that like where we are in society kind of has highlighted even more the need for these communities because, you know, we're not working with our families. We're not like in a small confines. And so I think, you know, seeing the rise in community in the business atmosphere and sports and other places has been really, really interesting. But let's start by telling us a little bit about your background. Like, what did you want to be when you grew up and how did you kind of get here to founding this community?
Yeah, well, it's funny actually, because I actually wanted to be a marine biologist when I was growing up, which is like not what happened at all. And then when I reached my like preteen years, I got really into music. And I was always very much into sports too. I always played every season of sports. But I started doing a lot of singing, songwriting, acting. And I was signed with my first management company when I was 16 in the UK. And then I spent 13, 14 years in the music industry as a pop singer, songwriter. I performed like all over LA and London. I was signed with like a little label and then a big label. And then I had my own label. So it was kind of, it was a whirlwind. It was a very interesting and intricate industry to be a part of. There's a lot of negativity on, obviously, towards women. So that was challenging, but it also made me see this whole of what I've created now. So whilst doing that, I was also a college athlete. I played soccer in college. I'm still very much into sports. I do a lot of activities. And, you know, after that, I created a sports tech company, which was a meetup app for sports meetups during COVID, actually, right at the very beginning. And I craved community so badly. I'd moved to Houston. I'd lived overseas most of my life, so had that kind of like overseas expat community, which is a bit easier to get involved in. But when I was here and it was like everything was shut down, like all you wanted was friends, right? Like people, I just want to see people. So I created this sports meetup app, Teammates, that has now turned into a white label. But during that time, I started doing like women's golf clinics and women's pickleball clinics and talking about women sports on panels and like, you know, equal pay and all that kind of stuff. So as I was doing that, I made some friends that happened to be like female Olympic athletes. And I found out how much they got paid and how lonely they felt and had all the same feelings that I had in a different industry. And I realized that the sports and entertainment world is so combined and so similar in the way that it's very male dominated. You feel like you have to be on show all the time. There's a lot of issues going on. So I wanted to create this space for women in those two sectors where they can not only have and make friends that understand them and that are on their same wavelength, but also where we can support them, like getting more brand deals, generating more wealth, creating collaborations together, showcasing them at events. So that's how it kind of all started and snowballed from there.
Wow. Well, there is so much there to unpack. And I have to start with, I know that everybody is going to ask. So you're fairly recent to Texas, but why don't we hear any accent?
So I'm from the UK, but I left there when I was nine, 10. And I moved to Dallas, and then I spent the rest of my school years moving overseas and going to like international schools and American schools. And so honestly, it was in, and I've told this story so many times because it cracks people up. I went from having like a really strong British accent, like, you know, very strong. If you hear me like back on tapes, video VCR tapes from then, I sound like full on Brit. But within 2 weeks of living in Dallas, my accent was gone. And I mean, I don't know if I was a kid like trying to fit in. I mean, because all the kids at school thought my accent was cool, but it just, there was something about the Southern drawl and like, you know, y'all this, y'all that, that it just disappeared and then it never came back. And now it really only comes back. Like if I talk to my parents or like when I went to college in England actually, and it came back a bit then, but I mean, the American accent is just too powerful. It just takes it over.
So tell us a little bit more about how did you get into singing? Because what I'm hearing here is just something that I love to encourage women on over and over again. It's the power of the pivot, pivoting to what you're passionate about. And that's what I already hear in your story here is like, what a great example of that, that you lived into something you were passionate about, and then you shifted to something else that you're passionate about. And then you built a community around something you're passionate about too. So what, you know, how did you get into singing? That is such a, you know, difficult industry as well.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I always did songwriting. Like when I was a kid, I would just write poems and write songs all the time. And it was kind of my therapy. And then I started like being part of choirs and I started singing. And my mom's best friend is a very famous songwriter. So I kind of like started listening to stuff he was writing, and it just became an outlet for me. And I was also like very into sports. I played soccer, I played touch rugby, I ran track. Like I did a lot of sports, but there was something about just being able to like sing it, like let it all out, that just made me feel alive. And what I realized during the like my music career was that it was that writing and that like music therapy that I loved, and it was not all the other stuff. Because when I had first started and I had my own like little independent label and I was planning my own shows and doing my own choreography and running everything myself, I loved it. But the second I went into like the bigger side with the bigger label and the shows with the dancers and all that stuff, I stopped loving it. And it took me a long time to realize that like it wasn't just like the attention and the fame I didn't like. It was that it felt like that therapy had been taken away from me. You know, that was like my special thing. So, and I feel the same with sports. Like when I go ski down a mountain, like it's just complete therapy for me, or when I horse ride or when I run or any of that stuff. So I think it's just an outlet that fills my soul. And it was something that, you know, still to this day, I sing with my kids. You can see the piano behind me. Like we're very musical. And I still do writing for fun, but it's indulging in something that makes you happy.
Yeah. And so when you decided to give that up and move back into kind of a normal life, going into soccer, going to university, did you feel like you were quitting on yourself, or how did that feel in making that shift and making that decision?
So, I mean, I didn't actually quit until I was like 28, 29. So like while I was in college and recording at the same time. So I would go to college, and then I would take the train an hour to London and go to the recording studio and then go back again. And I did that for 3 years. Because, you know, I wanted to have the degree because I knew that like things don't always work out the way you want, and it's good to have the foundation. So it was a really busy lifestyle, but honestly, it got to a point where when I had some stuff going on with Sony, and I had written these songs for other people, and then I had to sing them, and they weren't my style, and I felt uncomfortable on stage. I remember my last show, and I'm kind of still sad this was my last show, but it was at a club, a big club in London. And I just didn't feel comfortable with the setup. Like, my management team had dancers behind me, and I was more of like a rocky band person. Like, I wanted a band. And I was not dressed how I wanted to be dressed. And like, I wasn't singing the songs I wanted to sing. They were my own, but they were not ones I'd written for myself particularly. So, once I got off that stage, I was like, that was not a good performance. I was not like, I didn't do well. And I didn't do well because I didn't feel authentic. And authenticity is so important to me. Like, that's where your talent really comes out. Like, when you're being you. And so that was it for me. I just was like, this is not making me happy. I was giving managers money, agents money, vendors, like everyone was just getting my money, and it wasn't, you know, getting me anywhere. So it was just time to move on.
Wow. That you were able to manage playing soccer at university and also having like this whole other life. Kudos to you. How did you manage your time?
I mean, honestly, Chris, I get asked this question all the time because I've been running, you know, building businesses for quite some time. Like, this is my third one. And I have two kids and I'm a single mom. I think honestly, I have a weird amount of energy. Like, this is really all it comes down to. I think like since I was a kid, I can just go and go and go. And my brain can just go. And so I feel very lucky. I have a lot of gratitude for that I can keep up with everything. But I like to be busy. I like to be under pressure. I like to work. So I think it's just like managing your time, like in your head. Like, I wake up really early, I get some work done, then my kids get up, I get them ready for school, then I go back to work, and then I quickly in the middle of the day go for a quick run, and then, you know, I come back to work. And it's just like compartmentalizing the parts of your day. And that's what I would do then as well. I was like, well, I'm going to go play soccer, and then I'm going to get on the train and go record a song, and then I'm going to go, and it fulfilled me. I think as long as you're feeling fulfilled and you're not filling your day and all your time with things that you don't like, then it's possible to do, you know? And of course, like, sometimes I'm like, I need more time in the day. Like, I still haven't got these financials done, or I haven't done payroll, or, you know, whatever it is. But I always manage to somehow find time, which is shocking. And because I also love time with my kids. Like, I'm like a really hands-on mom. We do a lot of fun things together. And I make sure that I shut things down. Like, when I pick them up at 4:30, like, my work's done until they're in bed. And then I go back to work.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, when you research like the top, you know, military groups, the Navy SEALs, those kind of people, that's what they talk about, is like how well compartmentalizing helps you be successful. And so I think we can take things like that and what you're talking about. And that is how, as working moms especially, you can set up your and structure your day for success. I think where we run into problems is, yes, when we're on our tiny addictive device, and we're not putting it down, and the kids are seeing that, and your family seeing that, and you're not being present for what's in front of you. And when you can really hone in and be super present, focused on what you're doing at the moment, you're more efficient, you're more effective, and you're going to be happier.
Oh yeah. That phone thing. Oh gosh. And I've had my daughter call me out too. Cause like, I really try and not touch anything when I'm with them. Like, that's my present time. But sometimes there's been times when it's like, I've got a work emergency and there's not a lot you can do. And my daughter, she's six. She will call me out. She's like, you're on your phone. And she'll just stand right in front of me until I put it down. And then she said to me the other day, she's like, can it wait? And I'm like, well, you know what? I mean, it can wait. It's not life or death. Like, it's stressing me out, but it can wait. And the second I like just put it down, I was like, I'll deal with it later. I felt so much better. I was like, well, these lessons I'm getting from my six-year-old are great. Because I think the phone can just really, I mean, it makes me dizzy sometimes. Like, you know, you have to really take time away from it because it can suck you in and suck your time. And then you've just accomplished nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I found for me what helps is because it's just, and studies support this, that when you see it and it's right there, it is like a, you know, like what people that quit smoking and then they, what do they do with your hands? It's like you see it, you might feel it vibrate, you hear it, you've got to touch it. If you just leave it out of, you know, sight, that is the best way to break down from it. I mean, I know my husband accuses me regularly. He's like, you text me and asked a question and then I asked you back or whatever. And you've set the phone down and it's an hour and a half later. And it's because, yeah, I don't want the phone to be married to me. I don't want it to be an extension of me. And I find myself doing that. Like, well, it's just a quick text. Oh, it's just a quick email. And your kids are sitting there and then we know it's a quick text. It's a quick email. Think about how you feel when another adult or your spouse or your family member is doing the same thing to you. It's not the feeling that we want to give to our kids. And we need to, you know, get out of that.
Yeah. And they're watching and wondering. They're like, why are my mom and dad on the phone all the time? What are they doing on there? And then they get all curious and like, why don't I have one? So yeah, I mean, it's a vicious cycle, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard because most of our work now is on tech, you know, it's
yes.
on the computer, it's on the phone. So it is really hard to find that balance for sure. But it's something that once you do, like, you will be happier. You're completely right when you said that, like, it does make you happier.
Yeah. So tell us more about, well, which one should we go into first? Should we talk about TMH? Should we talk about Osprey?
Let's talk about Osprey since it kind of like grew from teammates anyways.
What exactly is it? What kind of community are you building for people? And, you know, how do you see this going?
Yeah, so it's a vetted membership community for females in sport and entertainment. It has three circles. So it's like a Venn diagram. The talent circle, which is professional athletes and entertainers. So that ranges from anyone from like news anchors to singers to actresses to any athlete. The second circle is for executives in sport and entertainment. So we've just started onboarding for that. We've got an NFL agent, NBA agent, financial advisor to athletes. We've got someone that works at Comcast. Awesome women, like all amazing. And then our third circle is the college circle, which is launching in August. And that's for female athletes in college. And they are filtered into the community. They're provided the resources. We have a big sister program where they'll get one executive and one talent member assigned to them to help guide them. So that's like the setup of the community. Everything crosses and collaborates. So the executives cross over with the talent, the college crosses over with both circles. And everyone kind of filters each other and helps each other. So we provide curated pods, which are like these small groups with business coaches who are all women, that guide them through a curriculum that I've written. There's a different curriculum for the talent and for the executives and for the college, which is like development, leadership, networking. Then we provide course sessions, which are like finance, or the other day we had a meditation one because everyone said they needed to chill out. So we had a meditation specialist come on. And then we do in real life events as well. So we just had one at the Super Bowl for women. We partnered with A Day in the Life with Dr. Jen Welter, and we did this really fun event where some of our members were coaching, one was DJing. Women learned how to play football, which was really fun. If you've never tackled before, you should. And then we've got a golf one next week here in Houston called Birdies and Bubbles. And we've got some of our members on the panel. And then we're doing one at Indy. We're doing one at the Summer Series. And we've got small little pop-up events too, which are like dinners and hiking. And the year ends with a retreat. So everyone gets to come on the retreat. We do fun activities, surf, hike, yoga. We have special speakers come in. And what we found so far, the coolest part of it that like, honestly, I didn't know that was going to naturally happen, but they've all become friends. And, you know, we've got almost 60 members in the talent circle now. I think only two of them knew each other before, and they're all in totally different sports or entertainment sectors. And they all just love each other's company, and they've learned from each other. And we had our MMA fighter teach everyone a self-defense class in the community. So they're sharing their gifts and their talents. And when one of them gets a brand deal that they don't think is a good deal for them, they'll ask the community if they want to, you know, if there's anyone that matches for it. So it's been awesome so far. I honestly can say I love my job, even though I work a lot and it's a startup still. It's bringing me great joy to see these women being elevated.
Yeah. And so what is your vision for the future of Osprey?
Yeah. So we're growing the executive. So we're growing all the circles. And the hope is that once we onboard the college as well, there'll be a nice synergy between them all, where the college athletes will get jobs or placements in sports from the executives. And then the talent members and the executives members can be co-founders of new businesses and all build together, learn and build together. Like that's what's important, so that everyone can generate more wealth. Because that's like what we're missing for women, right? Even the women that are executives, they're not getting paid what they should be getting paid. The college athletes need guidance. The talent circle need more. I mean, some of these women are so amazing and nobody gives them any recognition. I mean, we've got one, Rhonda, she's like the most, I think in the world, the most decorated female racquetball player ever in the world. You should look at her Wikipedia. There's like 100 medals on there. It's insane. And she just hasn't, like, you know, she deserves way more respect, attention, wealth, everything than she's been getting. And I think just like sharing their journeys and sharing their stories is important. Like these should be household names, just like the men are. And they're inspiring. They all want to inspire the younger generation. And that's like really important to me. And I'm sure to you, because you're a mother, you know, having women that are role models, I mean, we need it. It's important. And they're there. They're just not being seen as much as they should be seen.
Yeah. And I think trying to carve out a career or, you know, an income when you're doing something unique that's kind of out of the box, you know, that we're not talking about corporate America, it can be difficult when you haven't seen other people like you doing those things. Who do you ask the questions of? Where is the mentorship? Like you said about brand deals, how do you know what's a good deal or not a good deal? There's actually an app, if you haven't heard of it, you should look it up. That made me think of a guy I know here in Houston that's a partner at a law firm. His daughter launched an app called FU, with the bad word, FU Pay Me. And it's for social media influencers getting brand deals to share the companies and the actual price that they're being paid for certain kind of deals, because there was no transparency of it. So like somebody that, you know, has a million followers, maybe one brand deal is giving them $1,000, but somebody else is getting $100,000, you know, and it's like there's huge disparities and there's no way to look this kind of stuff up. And I thought that is genius. And it was born out of the fact that she was a model. Crazy enough, she's not tall, but she was like a big name model, like for Christian Dior and stuff like that. And she was like, I'm getting robbed. I'm like getting paid pennies. And how do we make this make more sense for people? And I think that is hard. And I know that for myself, going into what I call this like kind of alternative career, you know, working on the podcast, working on my website, starting to write and produce articles and things like that, finding other people that are in that sphere is very, very challenging. So creating a community where people kind of understand what you're going through, that you can partner with on deals, or maybe you have an idea of like some cool sports drink and like, who could I partner? Who would there be synergy with to do that? I think just bringing together people in that way is so special and so magical. And it's like such a unique niche. And as women, we do so much better together than apart. And even though you have been competing maybe with each other in sports, in life, we don't have to compete. Like I was just telling my, seven, he's seven now. He was very frustrated doing a race, with my 9-year-old, and he kept quitting, not running through our, you know, arbitrary end point. And I was like, you have to run. Well, he's going to beat me. He's going to beat me. He's going to beat me. And this was like a life lesson for him. It's like, you're racing, you're competing, but in life, you're really only competing against yourself. So don't look at all the people around you as your competition. It's really just you. And so I think as a hard time, you know, women, competitive women can have a difficult time with that. And so I just really love what you're doing.
Yeah, it's true. We focus like one of our core values of the company is collaboration, because you get so much further, so much faster if you collaborate. If you try and do everything by yourself, it's going to be difficult. You're probably not going to get to where you want. You're not going to have as much fun. But if you say, hey, you're good at that, let's partner. You're good at that, let's partner. Like, let's do this together. It just makes everything better and it elevates everything that much faster. And I think like, women are great at collaborating. Like once we get into it, we're really good at it because we all have like unique talents. We work hard. We can multitask. And special things can be made out of that, you know?
Yeah. And so at the end of the day, if you could see one achievement made for Osprey, what would it be?
I would like a lot of the members to start their own businesses, because I think they have these wonderful ideas. So many of them have these great ideas, and I hope one day we can fund their businesses. They're so smart, and it's really just lacking the confidence or thinking that they can't do it. And these are like people that have won, you know, Olympics and whatnot, but there's just this mentality of like, I don't know if I can. And so our goal is to tell them, yes, you can. And here's the tools and here's the resources and here's the partner to help you do it and do it. So, you know, getting some of that stuff off the ground, I think is really important, and, you know, it will empower them, and then it will empower other women who see them do it. And then it will empower young girls to do it. And it just becomes this whole cycle of amazing female entrepreneurs.
I love it. And I don't know if you've already thought about this, but I just had an idea of what you just said. Given what this is about and where we are in society, I feel like you could really go out and get some funding for some kind of like, you know, scholarship fund. And maybe that's not what you meant by funding, but as an initial step where young people, you know, or whatever could have, you know, like municipalities and rotary clubs and different stuff have, you know, scholarship type fund availabilities that they do, you know, for a handful of people to have, you know, here's $10,000 to start a business or whatever, some seed money. And yeah, I mean, I could see that also growing into something like a fund where it's like, you're a financial partnership, you know, you take a 20% stake or something to craft and give people the tools to move forward with their ideas.
Yes. That is in our 5-year plan.
Yes, that's awesome. I love it. I love it.
It's really exciting. And like, you know, we started being able to like, we're almost to the point where we can pay the members to be on the events that we do. So we're also like giving them work, which is really cool. And then our hope is that it, you know, we'll dive into that where we can fund their businesses.
Wow, that's amazing. So for people out there that may be having an idea, because I feel like this is a fairly unique idea that you had. This is something interesting that you created. And it comes up, all these, you know, questions come to me when you're talking about, can I do it? Can I make it a success? So, you know, you went out and created this, you went out and got resources, you found members, you did marketing, you did all these things. So for the woman out there that thinks she has a great idea, but doesn't feel she has the experience, doesn't she feel she has the network? How did you get the confidence to go out there and do it? How did you go out and find the members and think, you know, I'm going to partner with these people. I can pull in people from these industries. Like, how did you network your way there?
I think part of it is you have to be really open to learning. Like, there's tons of part of the business that I didn't know and I had to teach myself. And you have to be open to the fact that, like, I'm going to have to teach myself how to do this or how to use this software or how to, you know, create a proper cap table or any of that stuff. Like, it's all available online. You can find it. It's just time consuming and you have to be patient with yourself and you have to be willing to learn. Network wise, honestly, I just got to the point where I was seeing so much like inequality and unfairness, is that even a word, for women, that it just kind of fueled me and I didn't care anymore. Like, I just not care about the whole point of the community, but not care about reaching out to people. I just said, you know, this needs to change. And once I had my daughter and she like loves playing softball, and when she was like, I'm going to be a professional softball player one day. And I was like, well, you're not being a professional softball player unless you get paid more. So, and you're respected more. So, you know, it just fueled me to fight for women because I've always just seen the issue. Like, even from a young age, I've just seen it and it's always irked me, and I just want to be part of the change. And, you know, I'm assertive enough to do it. So, I think, you know, it feels like it's my mission in life and my job, and I want to see it through.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I am really inspired by what you're doing. I think it's incredible. I think it's brave. It's genius. You know, I just love it. The last thing I want to leave people with is you noted that you were an aspiring author. So what did that mean? Do we have something on the horizon that we should look forward to? What are you thinking about on that?
So I've written a ton of children's books like throughout the last like 15 years. And I actually have one on Amazon that you can buy called The Sock Monster. It's about like when you lose socks in the washing machine. And like, you have like, cause both myself and my kids wear odd socks every day. Like, we cannot, like, I don't know what happens to them, but you'll find out in the Sock Monster book. So I released that on Amazon last year. And honestly, it was a passion project. I didn't really do any promotion or anything. So it, you know, I haven't done a lot with it, but it's a really cute book and it's really well illustrated. I had a great illustrator. But I would like to one day, like, you know, I'd like to write empowering things, and I write for fun and, you know, for therapy, and I still write all my poems and everything. But I think writing is so powerful and reading it is so powerful, and knowledge is power. So whenever I can, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm reading, I have stacks of books on my bedside table. Every time I'm running, I'm listening to podcasts. I think it's just the knowledge for me. Like, if I had a choice, this whole room would be a library full of bookshelves. You know, it's just something that's magical to me and always has been, just words and sounds and learning.
I couldn't agree more. I love it. That is what I've realized that I really like doing. I mean, other than obviously, I started a podcast because I have a lot of questions for people and I want to talk about things and I want to bring ideas to people, and help people figure out, you know, that there is a way to create the life that you love, no matter what you want it to look like. I truly believe that we have to have the courage and the power, and then, you know, see somebody, hear somebody talking and speaking that over that to us, just like you're doing in your community. So thank you so much for your time today. I know you have so many things. Yes. And everybody, we will have this in the show notes, but Join Osprey is on all social medias, joinosprey.com. And you can find Lydia there, learn more about the organization, and also on LinkedIn. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we sign off?
No, I really appreciate this. And for women everywhere, you can do this. You can do it. Like, now's the time. Go for it.
Absolutely. Every day you have a dream, chase it. It's not going to chase you, you know? Whatever it is within your heart, whatever it is you're thinking about, just remember that it is possible, that it is doable, that you are unique. You have a unique gift to share. You have a unique voice to bring to the world. And don't let anything hold you back from that. Until then, keep getting clear. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to create a career you love, get the salary you deserve, and build the confidence to live life on your own terms, sign up for my free newsletter where you'll get actionable tips to raise your worth, build your wealth, create freedom, and create a life you absolutely love. Head over to crystalwaremedia.com to sign up or click the link in the show notes and join thousands of others making their dreams a reality. Whether you are just embarking on the journey or well on your way, the Worthful newsletter has something for you. See you next week.